welcome to the Northern Affinity Podcast. My name is Michael Edwards, and I am the host of the podcast and the founder of Northern Affinity. So I set the Northern Affinity up to bring together a community of business professionals and give them the platform they deserve to demonstrate their amazing skills, talents, and experience. And in this podcast and in the second series, we will speak to those people about three different areas. We will speak to them about collaboration, we'll speak to them about values, and we'll speak to them about aspirations. We will hear what these three things mean to our guests, how it drives them in what they do, and what role those three things play on a day-to-day basis. We hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, so I'm delighted to say that on the podcast today, I'm joined by Gemma Edwards from So Contented. So welcome to the podcast, Gemma.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So before we kind of go into a bit of a conversation about collaboration, aspirations and values, tell us a little bit about yourself.
You should probably know quite a lot about me since, full disclosure, we are married.
Yes, so today we are going to have a podcast with my wife, and that's just not so I can have a conversation with her. It's just that she also does run a business of her own, so... Come on, tell us about So Contented then, Gemma.
So apologies in advance, everyone, if we start bickering halfway through. Yeah, so my business is called So Contented. We set up nearly 4 years ago now, set up with my business partner, Helen, which, you know, sideline, I think is probably one of the best moves that I've made. I know a lot of people in business who set up solo and find it quite a lonely place, I think. So yeah, it's been a very interesting journey having two of us there, and there's now a team of five of us. At So Contented, we specialize in brand voice. We help businesses to communicate through written content, find the right words to really connect with their audience and express who they really are.
Thank you very much. So yeah, so as you know, on the podcast, we talk about three different separate areas of, I guess, business and life and around collaboration, values and aspirations. So always like to start with collaboration and ask the question, what does it mean to you? What is collaboration to you?
I think it's about collaboration over competition. I think it's about working together with other people, even if they are very similar to you, because I think you can always learn from other people as well. I think collaboration is really important for growth. We know we collaborate internally as a team because there's five of us. And I think then, you know, your wider collaboration in the business world is very much about finding those people that you want to work with. And again, you know, it comes down to values. It comes down to finding people that are like you, I think. And that all links very nicely into collaboration.
So who do you collaborate with? What type, whether it's businesses or people, who works well with you guys?
It's such a long list. We do a lot of stuff with values and key messages and getting businesses to really understand what matters to them and what's important. And that's why our collaboration kind of spans out into loads of different areas and functions of a business. Typically, brand consultants work really well with us, or anything, you know, even recruitment. If you're recruiting, it's important to work with the right businesses, and, you know, it's all kinds of businesses, really. Copywriters, we do stuff with other copywriters. We can write ourselves, but, you know, we kind of come in from the strategic position. We do loads of collaboration as well with, beyond brand consultants, then it goes into like designers, people doing the visuals of a business, marketing companies. The list is pretty much endless, really.
So in your world, generically speaking, you're in the marketing world, which, as we know, there's so many different types of businesses in there. Do you ever see any issues around with collaboration? Because quite often you might be collaborating with someone who, I don't know, offers branding, but as part of their business, they also do content and they do strategy and they might do SEO and websites and all that kind of things. There's a lot of crossover in that industry. Is there ever any issues that you found?
We've never had any problems. I know other people, I think, have found it quite difficult. I guess it's with that competitive kind of feeling, some businesses sort of trying to not see the bigger picture, I guess, and they're trying to win all the business themselves. They think that somebody else is going to, rather than enhance what they're doing, they think that somebody else coming in will take away from that. We do a lot of work with brand consultants, and it's very, very similar. You know, when we're creating a brand voice, the work that we're doing is extremely similar. But we find that that only strengthens what we both do when we can collaborate. It really enhances the end result for the client, you know, and it, So two heads are better than one. It's a different perspective. It adds something to it. I think for marketing agencies, you know, a lot of them offer lots and lots of different services. You know, you get kind of your full service agencies that will bring in various elements. And some are really, really good at knowing where they should be outsourcing or bringing in specific experts. And some try to do everything in-house, even though they don't necessarily have the skills to do it. And I think that's where a lack of collaboration really impacts the end result.
I think that's really interesting because it brings me to a point, and I've mentioned it on a number of other of these podcast sessions, is that I believe collaboration is more about a mindset than an actual action. Yeah, okay, there's things that you do when you are working collaboratively, but actually it's more about everything you do is collaboration. Is that something you agree with?
Oh, definitely. And I think some businesses will be forced to collaborate, and collaborate is probably not the right word, but you know, a client may bring in more than one supplier, and I think sometimes it's very obvious when another party sort of feels threatened, I guess, by having someone else there. And that doesn't work, you know. It's these things are all so closely linked that you need to work together. You need to all be on the same page for your client. It is totally a mindset of coming into this and saying, right, well, how can I work with all these people that are here to get the best end result for the client, instead of thinking, how can I work to make sure that I don't lose business to somebody else in this room?
Do you think that a lot of the smaller businesses that are growing and going forward are actually the ones who do embrace collaboration because they understand and appreciate that they've only got so much, whether it's knowledge, skill or expertise within their own business, so they understand and actually the necessity for collaboration? Is that your experience?
Yes and no. I think small businesses are often very specific. And I think the more specific skill or service that you offer, and particularly when small businesses are starting out, I think they start out as, you know, with the hopes of being very specific. And I think in that case, then it's easier to collaborate because I think you never kind of get that feeling of, I might end up losing work here. You know, somebody else might take this business from me. But I've certainly found with a lot of people, particularly, you know, if you are an entrepreneur and you're on your own and it's a relatively new business, that you will start, I mean, and I think everybody goes through this, you go through a phase of kind of accepting any work, even though it's not your thing. You just know that you need to get the money in. So you will start doing jobs that aren't you, that don't suit you, that aren't true to what you initially set up to be. And I think that then is when you start to see that creeping in of, oh, I don't really want to bring in anybody else to collaborate because, you know, I guess copywriting is a great example. You're thinking, oh, I don't want to outsource that copywriting because I could do it myself, earn a little bit extra every month. But in reality, it's just taking your time and it's not what you want to be doing and what you should be doing. So yes and no, I think, is the answer to that question. Because equally, you know, I have seen bigger businesses that can and do collaborate very well, that do bring in other specialists to help them deliver. I think that kind of probably brings us to a slightly different point, I guess, of white labeling and kind of that happening in the industry and bringing in other specialists under your banner and how well that works or doesn't, I guess, sometimes as the case may be.
Final question on collaboration. If I said to you, hey, Gemma, I've got this perfect collaboration partner for you. They are absolutely perfect for everything you're trying to achieve in your business. What would that look like? Who would it be? What would they do?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Occasionally I get good ideas. Rarely, but occasionally.
Make a note of the date and time. I don't know. I think we've collaborated with so many different people and it's gone so well and it's brought so much to our business that I really don't think I could say who a perfect collaboration partner would be. I think what those people probably have in common when I think about it is they are growth minded. They also want to collaborate. They want to help, you know, they want to see other people succeed. I think that's a big thing. I know there's a saying, isn't there, that blowing someone else's candle out doesn't make yours shine any brighter. And I think that those kind of people who see their own success as being part of helping other people find success as well, I would say that's probably the common thread in the people that we collaborate best with, the sort of the people that all want to lift each other up and to see everybody around them be as successful as they are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that makes sense. And, you know, there's a really nice segue into the next section really around values, because what you're describing there is kind of shared values, I guess. It's like we've practiced this, which we haven't. But anyway, so values, what matters to you? What values are important to you as an individual, but also to business as well?
Well, there's a very interesting point there about what matters to me and what matters to business, because I believe really strongly that those two things are the same. If you are the leader of a business, then your values will have to become the values of your business, even though it's a separate brand, it's a separate entity. The connection is still so incredibly close, because every decision you make, your behavior is driven by your values. And when you make those decisions in business, it's driven by those personal values.
So on that point, before you answer the question, how important is it that you've got three employees in your business? How important is it those three employees are on board with that? Now, everyone will have different personal values, and there's no right or wrong to that. But how important will it be, at least similar, if everyone's kind of rowing in the same direction?
It's really important. And, you know, the bottom line is they wouldn't have been attracted to come and work for us if they didn't share similar values. Something that really stood out to us when we were interviewing for all three positions, actually, was that lots of the candidates that interview all said the same thing. You know, we love the values of the business. And the reason that was interesting is because we haven't put the values of our business anywhere publicly. They're not on our website, but we're huge believers in, if your values are done right, you don't need to tell people specifically what they are. They'll be able to tell just from the way that you communicate and the way that you behave and the actions that you take. So I would like to think that we have very much lived up to that, because I think that was coming across when we were interviewing our candidates for the roles. And I definitely believe that the rest of the team is totally on the same page and hold the same things to be important as Helen and I do.
So what are the values then, and why?
Okay, so we have five values in our business, and they are full of ideas, get involved, stay surprising, no nonsense, and bigger picture. I mean, I think the bigger picture one is really important, because especially in what we do, it's very much about asking questions, and not just, we're very specific when we go down the brand voice route with businesses. You know, we're helping them to find a particular piece of their puzzle in their brand. But actually, none of these things work by themselves. You have to kind of zoom out and see the whole and see how that piece fits into that puzzle. Because what is that puzzle? And if you don't have all that information, if you're not looking at the bigger picture, you can't possibly get that right. So we really value the whole big picture thinking piece. No nonsense is, I mean, we're all pretty straight talking, I think. And we very much live up to, if we think that something is not right, you know, we're honest about it and we'll say so.
And anyone who's spent more than 30 seconds in their office will vouch for that. You can't get away with anything in there.
And we may all deliver on that slightly differently. Some of us may be more tactful, I guess, than others, shall we say. But the basis of it is still the same. The basis of it is we have that obligation to clients and to each other and to everybody that we work with to be honest about things, to speak, to not give them nonsense, to not give them flim-flam, you know, to give our opinion. And that, you know, for a particular client, that's really what the pain is for, to be able to assess what's going on there and give them the truth about that. Get involved is a really crucial one, because it's totally around being part of whatever is happening, you know, whether that's internally, and everybody will get involved in projects, asking for help when you need it and being willing to give that help, but also being part of the businesses that we work with. It's, if we see ourselves as a separate entity to them, then we're not as invested in their success. So get involved is not only about, you know, getting stuck in, but it's about being that strategic partner for the people that we work with and becoming part of their business. Full of ideas is a great one, and I think sums us up really well, actually, as a business, because we love throwing ideas around. We love to get together with people and just float some things by. And, you know, again, we all do it very differently. Tessa's one of our senior content creators, and Tessa was saying the other day, when I'm in a meeting, she's like, oh, I can see your brain fizzing immediately, and I kind of start throwing things out there. Tessa's very thoughtful, very considered. So Tessa will just soak in all the information and she'll go away and then come up with loads of ideas afterwards. So again, it's not about being exactly the same person over and over again. That's not what values are. It's just about having certain things that matter that will drive your behaviour and that are the heart of your behaviour, but it's not about being clones of each other, I think.
We're recording this in June 2021, hopefully the tail end of the pandemic. And I think one of the things that's come from this is how people see businesses in terms of their values, their ethics, and you hear about the phrase corporate social responsibility. And there's lots of things that get thrown around that people do, but it's not just about saying what they're going to do, but doing the do. So how important do you think values will be as we go forward for businesses of all size? And like I said, not just about writing them down and having a lot of buzzwords, but actually acting upon them.
Yeah, and I think you've hit the nail on the head there, because a values piece of work in a lot of businesses can be a bit of a box-ticking exercise where they try to record what they think their customers want to hear. We tend to hear fluff like transparency and integrity, and they don't mean anything. You know, even people who are pretty dishonest will still say they value honesty. You know, it's not really a value, because it doesn't really drive behavior unless it's really fundamental. You know, you can't say that you are transparent if you don't, I don't know, if you don't tell every client what your profit margin is on the work that you're doing for them. You know, no one is ever really 100% transparent, and it's not expected either. But if you're saying that that's important, you've got to live by that. Like, transparency has to drive your actions. You know, transparent businesses are businesses that will put everything out there for everyone to see. And the reality is most businesses don't do that. So your values really have to be the truth. Your values have to be a reflection of what is genuinely driving your behavior, and not what you just want to say that people might want to hear. Because the danger of doing that is you can no longer hide. Businesses now more than ever can't hide behind false values, because people will see that the actions that you take aren't what they expected from you based on what you've told them you stand for. If you tell people that you stand for innovation and your products don't change for 3 years, where's the innovation? So that's the key thing with values. They've got to be true. And businesses that don't find the truth, businesses that don't articulate the truth about themselves, will find that they are completely higgledy-piggledy, that the decisions that they make are completely at loggerheads to the things that they've said are important, that their customers will not connect with them because they will know that what they're telling them is not sincere. And the people that come to work for them will not be right for their business. You know, they will be attracting all the wrong people internally and externally, and that chaos will just get worse and worse and worse.
I'm a big believer that I think it's, like I said, it's backing up your words is so important. So I can think of during the pandemic a number of businesses that have maybe got some bad publicity for various reasons, but some of them don't really talk about values. It's not really important part of what they do anyway, and kind of looking at it now, it seems like the impact has been fairly minimal to them. Then there's other businesses who do, and it's been a big thing. And there's a few recently that I can think of that have potentially could have serious impacts for the business because they've portrayed themselves in one way and the other. So I think the point there is, you know, be genuine about it. If the values aren't important to you, then you better not have any. Would you agree?
I think everybody has values. So they may not communicate them or talk about them, but they will have them. There will be something that matters to that business that is driving them. You know, no matter what that is, even if it's profit, you know,
yeah, of course, yeah.
That's, of course, every business wants to make a profit. But the point is that every decision that everybody makes is driven by values. Businesses that don't have clear values still have values. They just haven't articulated what they are.
Makes sense. So I'm looking forward to the last question and finding out the answer to this. But so aspiration, and this is the bit of the conversation I always enjoy the most, finding out what people want to do and what where they see themselves. Like I said, in this case, I might be the one I'm actually dreading more than any other. So Gemma, for you and So Contented, what are the dreams? Where do you want to be?
Global domination, mainly.
Why does that not surprise me?
if there is, you know, some sort of like in charge of the world position, that I'm up for that. So, you know, if anyone knows of an opening, let me know. We are very much still in a growth stage at So Contented. I don't think we ever want it to be some huge global corporate, because I think we absolutely love that we still get really involved with clients. And I think, you know, the bigger a business gets, the harder it is to deliver something that's really, really involved. And the more control I think you have to exercise over staying true to those values and bringing the right people on board. And, you know, it gets harder and harder, I think. I mean, for us, there's five of us at the moment. I think what I would love to do is to grow without losing, in essence, who we are. And I think therein probably lies the challenge. We have found ourselves, I think, over the last 3 or 4 years. And I would probably say that this is, you know, my advice to anybody who's sort of starting a business or has just started the business within the past year or two. Your business will evolve, so don't worry too much in the very early stages of, am I pricing correctly? Am I working with the right people? Am I offering the right things? You will find yourself and you will start to realize what you're good at and what you love doing. And the exact same thing has happened to us. You know, we started off very firmly in copywriting, you know, and it was very much how we would get a brief, we would deliver the brief, and that was that. But that just didn't suit us to just get that work in, send it back, job done. You know, it was missing so much of the way that we wanted to run our business, and that's kind of where our values came from, you know, of getting involved and bigger picture. It just wasn't ticking those boxes. And, you know, interestingly, we hadn't articulated those values at the time. Yeah, that would be my advice. Don't worry too much about yourself. So we have now very much found what we want to do through a natural evolution, and that's very much in the brand voice place. And that now is what we are growing going forward, that we are brand voice. We are a brand voice agency. We specialise in brand voice and in the implementation of a brand voice, which kind of brings the copywriting element into it, because, you know, we are very good writers, but the real differentiator for us is that brand voice piece, and that's what we want to grow.
So how are we going to get there?
Oh, well, there's a question. I am not a great one for planning.
I can vouch for that.
And I think that probably is something that it's not done us any harm up till this point. You know, we've kind of, poor Helen has been sort of dragged along for everything. I've kind of like talked her into various things. And we've done things a little bit, I don't want to say off the cuff, because that's not quite right. But, you know, we've certainly made some bold moves without much of a specific plan. And I think that is now reaching its expiry date, and we've reached a size where that's the next step for us. I think we need to have a firm plan. So how, I don't know the how of how we're going to get there, but I know that it involves, we need to start that very final, this is our, you know, 3-year, 5-year plan kind of thing, which gives me the shivers, because it's not, planning is not my natural, I'm quite cavalier, I think, but I'm well aware that we need to start putting something in place. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think we'll be over planning, because I am still involved. But yeah, that's the next thing for us, getting a real plan for our future growth.
Well, that comes nicely to the last question, which I always ask everybody on this podcast, is because you might not be planning how are you going to get where you want to get to. But I guess the question is where. So paint me a picture, 5 years' time, everything has gone perfectly. There'd be no issues. We all know that's very rare in business, and it probably won't happen like this. But this, for the purpose of discussing aspiration, everything's gone perfectly for you. It's all gone swimmingly. Where are you in 5 years' time? Where's the business? Who are you working with? And what are you going to be doing on a day-to-day basis?
I think in 5 years' time, we would probably like to have around 20 staff.
Okay.
So, yeah, be about 4 times bigger than we are now. I hope that we have retained our specialism. I think it's quite easy, particularly in sort of brand and marketing arenas, to start, because everything is so closely linked, to start filtering out into other places. But we really want to stay specialized. And what I would absolutely love is to have a team of really, really good people. We want to keep promoting the people that we have now, and I want to bring new people in that we can train and develop. And, you know, Helen and I are from totally random backgrounds, so we very much brought that to the team as well. You know, we don't have anybody who's come from a typical kind of agency background or copywriting background or marketing degrees, anything like that. You know, we've all come from really different places, and we just happen to be able to write. And, you know, with the right attitude, you can teach people any skills that they need, and we're huge believers in that. I would love to have to keep emulating what we've done, really, and just grow it. I think, you know, I'm really, really happy with the team that we've got, and just I hope that we can continue to recruit as well in future as we have done up to this point.
But what about you? What are you going to do?
What am I doing? I'll probably still be doing this.
So if everything's on perfect, we'll still be 5 days a week in the business?
Probably. I've been trying to go down to 4 days a week for 2 years, and that's not happened, so I think I probably will be. I don't know, even if we go to 300 people and we get bought by a global corporate for several millions, I think I would still want to work in it, because I do love it. I really do love it.
So, well, for me, I'll be on a beach in the Caribbean if it
all goes
perfect. So it's going to be an interesting discussion in 5 years' time. But anyway, so yeah, that's great. And obviously the work you guys are doing and the things you've been doing, people, is been working really, really well. So thank you for that. And yeah, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
And then final question, I guess, if people do want to find out a little bit more about yourself or So Contented, where's the best places to go?
Well, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Gemma Edwards. Or you can head over to our website, which is socontented.com.
Perfect. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to the latest episode of the Northern Affinity podcast. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you about aspirations, about collaboration, and about what your values are. So you can directly contact me. My email address is michael@thenorthernaffinity.co.uk. Or we are all over social media platforms, so you'll be able to find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. All you'll need to do is search for The Northern Affinity, and I'm sure you'll be able to find us. One last ask from me, if you could possibly share this episode, if you've enjoyed it, with people who you may also think would find it useful. If you could rate, review, and subscribe as well, we really, really would appreciate that. So again, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time on the Northern Affinity podcast.